Coming up next is the Professor James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroads. Now on shortwave, WWCR, frequency 5.070 at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and also on Reality Radio Network Internet at www.realityradionetwork.com on Thursday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. And now, once again, here's your host, the Professor.
Good evening, March 22nd, 2007, and what an unusual week this past week has been. Very interesting activity, and I see so many things going on in the background that unfortunately you people out there don't see. The disinformation crews building up and trying to block information, creating phony headlines, and I'll be talking a little bit about that tonight. But first of all, I want to mention that yesterday, the 21st, was what we call the equinox, spring equinox, and or equinox, some people pronounce it. But basically, imagine this. Now, for people who are not oriented to astronomy, this will be just kind of a little bit of an astronomy lesson. Imagine that the sun is way out there, and just hold your arm out, so to speak, and then say that Earth is where your shoulder is. So there's a line between Earth and the sun. Now, where Earth is, the Earth spins on an axis with the north and south pole, but that axis is tilted at 23.5 degrees from vertical. In other words, if you draw that line between Earth and the sun and you come back, some people might think that the Earth's axis would be vertical to that plane defined by our path around the sun, but it's really not. It's tilted at about 23.5 degrees. So therefore, if you took and made a plane, put a piece of paper or a flat sheet through the Earth right at the equator and extended it out into space, that would create one plane. And then the other plane that we want to deal with is between the Earth and the sun. As the Earth goes around the sun, that's what we call the ecliptic. That's the plane of the planets, and most of the planets pretty much lie in that plane, but not really, not 100%. But be that as it may, there's two planes involved here, and one is tilted at 23.5 degrees from the other plane. So let's just kind of forget about Earth and the sun for now, and just imagine take a sheet of paper, lay it flat on a desk, and then take another sheet of paper and tilt it up from that one at 23.5 degrees. And those are the two planes, the ecliptic plane and the celestial equator of Earth. And so where those two planes intersect is a straight line. And that straight line defines for us the direction of spring and fall. Now, in terms of standing on Earth, what this means is that in the morning when you get up on the spring equinox or the fall equinox, it's the same, then sunrise and sunset occur in due east and due west. So as the summer progresses, as we progress into summer, actually this is the first day of spring, but as we progress through spring and into summer, then the sun starts moving along the horizon in one direction or another, depending on if we're going into summer or if we're moving out of summer through the fall equinox and then off into winter. And interestingly enough, very recently, I believe I talked about this last week, there was a phenomenal solar calendar set of structures. 13, they're like pyramid-type structures or rock structures, very large, down in the plains in Peru. And there were 13 stations and a little dip between each station. So at a vantage point, standing off on one side of the plane, you could look through these and divide the calendar actually into 24 pieces. So very interesting that, and that developed many hundreds of years B.C. They don't really have an excellent date for that set of structures, but the pre-Inca came out of their whatever was going on back there, but historically. But the point is that they were very interested in calendars, and that's when the calendars began to be solidified all around the world. And of course, that's what Velikovsky talks about. And all the nutty astronomers who hate Velikovsky don't even know that what he was studying was calendars. And very few astronomers know anything about calendars, so they didn't even recognize, and most astronomers haven't even read his book. This is one technique that astronomers use to defy logic and defy having to take responsibility. They let somebody else read it and then make a critique, and then, gee, that takes care of it for all of them, doesn't it? And they can go back to their beliefs that the solar system formed 4.5 billion years ago and nothing's happened since. But at any rate, the spring equinox very definitely being solidified back there about 1500 B.C. or somewhere in that era. So about 3,500 years ago, and of course, dating is very difficult, but that's when the cultures began to solidify the calendar. And obviously something drastic had changed back then, which changed the calendars from the pre-event calendars to the post-event calendars. At any rate, spring equinox is upon us, and a very happy time of year for most of us, because we've shed winter and we've survived that, and now we're heading into spring and the flowers will be blooming, etc. I want to quick give a mail order address, because a couple weeks ago I failed to give that out on the air, and I'm finding that more and more people are using mail order, especially with the shortwave crowd. And so let me quickly get this in, because I want to get on to the rest of the topics. By the way, the science topic for tonight is fun with prime numbers. We're going to go through a couple exercises here based on the release of the new book, Calculate Primes, which, by the way, has already sold out. We're scrambling to fill orders. If you have ordered one, we are on top of the orders. We're a couple days, probably 4 days, maybe 5 days behind on shipping. And so everything up to about 4 or 5 days ago is out and going through the mail. So I know some people email in and ask, but the majority of people are just very patient, and we appreciate that, because we're very limited here. We're not a big publishing house with a highly paid staff. Pretty much everything is volunteer. And so when these book releases come along, we try to prepare, but as always, we're just kind of surprised at the public response. And I will be talking about that also in a minute, because when the new book came out, something that we did not expect something happened. All of the books sold out at the same time, and we're running down on supplies. We have enough to keep things going, but every book that I have has sold out. So I guess popularity has its price, and so of course I have my own publishing house, and I'll be talking about that in just a minute. I'm going to be offering a book special, and this will help set all of the books into production here again. And for example, the Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes book is probably in its 8th, 9th, or 10th printing, somewhere like that. Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection, caught up very quickly. It was the second full-size book to come out, and it caught up extremely, very quickly to the first book, Planet X. And we already went through probably the seventh printing of the surviving Planet X passage. That just happened about 3 weeks ago. And the weather book is going into its third printing. So that and the Calculate Primes book, after under 2 weeks, is already going into its second printing. So very excellent response to this material. By the way, I'm not going to go into details about this book special. What I'm going to do, just briefly, watch the web page, and it'll probably be all of the books that are in reprint right now. They're going into their next edition, and I'll put them on the web page, and it'll probably include, by the way, there's a lot of conversions going on. My videos are going to be changing over to DVDs, so this new limited offer will include those, and I'm also putting out the first of my long-awaited lecture series DVD. I now have the equipment at hand to produce these myself, and these will, we're getting better editing, animation, and those kind of things together, where my science work will be, in fact, well represented in the DVD lectures, and there'll be a whole program of these, the first one coming out relatively soon. That's where the, as they say, the rubber meets the road. That's when you see, the lecturing capabilities that I built up over the years, from lecturing at the university level for, you know, a 10-year period of my life, and being able to put this information out for a wide range of audience, from professionals all the way down to grade school children. So just very quickly, mail order address is JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota 55392. Once again, that's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota 55392. And the new Calculate Primes book, $20, that includes shipping to the 50 states. If you're in a foreign country, add a little bit, $7 to Canada, $11 to every other country. And the thing that people are ordering, which I was somewhat surprised, but I guess I'm not surprised, is the Berkey water filter, $315. That's the Berkey water filter with two filters and two extra filters, plus the free Kato WRX 911 shortwave radio, and free shipping to the 50 states, and you won't find a better deal than that anywhere. The manufacturer controls the price on the Berkey, so I throw in a couple extras there. So that's $315 for the Berkey, and it's going to be the most important thing you have in your house, a good water filter. So at any rate, and for people who want the set of books, I would suggest $60 for the four-book set. And that does not include the Calculate Primes book. That's the other four books, the Planet X, the Atlantis to Tesla, the Surviving Planet X Passage, and the Weather book. That set is $60. Okay, on to the topics for tonight. Very interesting little thing happened to me this week. And I want to relate this because, of course, I've been talking about encryption and the fact that the encryption codes can be broken relatively easily now that I have published the material. The Calculate Primes book shows how to very quickly calculate prime numbers directly, and also to break large numbers, composite numbers, into their prime factors with a few short, brief calculations of addition and subtraction. So at any rate, this means that encryption codes are easily broken, whereas just before this release, they were considered to be the domain of supercomputers. So anyway, here's my story. I go in and I'm going to get, you know, a couple licenses. You know how we have to go down and get a license for your car tabs and this type of thing. So I'm standing there and I was the only person in there, and all of a sudden another lady comes in, very nice, elderly lady, and she's there and she goes, "Oh darn, I just can't find my license." And the lady across the counter, this is what I want you to listen to. The lady across the counter working at the license bureau, the Minnesota State License Bureau, comes back with the following comment. She says, "Oh, well, that's not a problem because pretty soon your license is going to be stamped in your forehead." And I looked at her and I said, "I don't think so," knowing that the encryption codes for the chips, the human computer chips, the encryption codes required for them have been broken now. And the warehouse is full of these chips that renders them useless. So at any rate, this poor little old lady is there, and once again I want to repeat what happened. I go into the license bureau to get my, you know, car tabs or whatever. I forget what I was getting. And this little old lady comes in, stands next to me at the counter, and is kind of fumbling through her purse and going, "Darn, I can't find my license," meaning her driver's license, which she would need to produce identification to get the tabs for her car, I believe she was getting. And the lady across the counter working at the license bureau comes back and says, "Well, that won't be a problem soon because your license will be stamped in your forehead." Think about that. Now, this, of course, there are people out there that believe the biblical prophecies of the number, the mark of the beast, it is called. And I'm not going to go into that because there are many people out there that have varying beliefs about that, and that's fine. But the reality is the chip in the forehead or in the palm of your hand is at hand. The technology is there. These have been built. They're being used in the military. They're used widely in China. Many people in China have been forced to take the number, the chip implanted under your skin. That's their identification to do anything over there, whether you're having a child or going to the hospital or buying rice at the grocery store in China. They are already mandating the human computer chip to keep track of them. So at any rate, the scenario that apparently is to be used in the United States is a terrorist event that would include the requirement that everybody get a shot. And the biochip, the human computer chip, would come down the barrel of the needle of the shot and would be injected into the muscle tissue in your arm or in your forehead or wherever they put the shot. And, of course, if you didn't get the shot, you would be a detriment to society because you would possibly be carrying an illness or a virus which they have spread amongst the populace. So, at any rate, you start to see what's going on here. But the final joke may be on the biochip people because you understand that none of this will work the requirement is they have to have encryption to uniquely identify you from someone else. So if the encryption codes have been broken, then anybody in Alaska can be a guy down in Alabama and vice versa, or you could have five of one guy. And it would not be very difficult to start to break these codes down, exchange them, scramble them, and the data, these are little RF radio transmitters, and that signal going back to the main Big Brother computer could be all scrambled. And once Big Brother's brains start to get scrambled and they can't figure out that there's 12 of you and they're all over, then they don't know where to go to get you. And they go to find you and it turns out to be someone else. Big Brother's computer is going to be very scrambled. So This is going to lead into, of course, when I let the book Calculate Primes out to the public, I didn't pre-announce the title or the topic, as I never do that, of course, on any of my books. But in this case, it was extremely important because I had to distribute this information to very specific, tightly held locations so that when this came out, I could freely release this information to the public. And also the patent, copyright, trademark work was done prior to this. A good deal of background work had to be done before this book release so that it came off smoothly and you, the public, could go out and get this information and have it in your hands. And the powers that be, as some people call them, I just call them a bunch of idiots, running around thinking they're going to control things, they already knew that I had covered my bases when this book came out. And this past week, the disinformation crew, that crew of lovely people who have nothing better to do than run around and try to throw curves at you. Remember that, in fact, this prophecy not only comes from the ancient texts of every kind, but there are many references to the following. They say there will be false prophets sent to lead you astray, and they are everywhere today on the internet, on the evening news, on just about every radio show that you can find, except some of these good ones that can reach you over shortwave, where you got real honest, hardworking people bringing you real information that they go out and find on their own, like my show. The people are just leaving mass media in droves because there's no content. It's garbage. The news is all constructed and ridiculous. None of it makes any sense. So I just wanted to lead into this topic with the lady in the License Bureau. And wouldn't it be, isn't it odd that I would be the one in there when this lady made that comment? And then be able to pass that on to you. So it appears that in the license bureaus, that will be the first place where you would be required to have your chip in your forehead or whatever. And remember the saying, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without it. In other words, the things that you need to generally function in modern society, you won't be able to do without a license. Essentially, so that's where they're going to start the requirement of the human computer chip in the license bureaus. Interesting. Along this same line, this week, you probably couldn't have missed this headline unless you were a total hermit. And let me read the headline so I get it straight here. Lie Group, L-I-E, it's spelt, E8, math puzzle solved. Now, this is the headline that came out this week, and of course, it didn't have to come out this week, because the problem itself dates back to 1887. So, why was it so important for them to release information on this 120-year-old problem, essentially, and release it this week in 2007. But anyway, just to give you a clue of what's going on, I'll preface this by saying the problem that I solving the prime number problem, is a 2,500-year-old problem. It goes back to the ancient Greeks, and every great mathematician has tried to solve this. And what's interesting about what I did is that any third grader can understand it. You don't need supercomputers. You don't need teams of hundreds of internationally famous mathematicians. Any third grader can understand the prime numbers now, how to calculate them directly, and how to take any large number and determine if it's prime or not within a few short back-of-the-envelope calculations. using just addition and subtraction. So that's what should be in the headline. But as I said, the implications of that headline would be that the encryption codes have been broken. Those encryption codes that are used in banking and commerce and internet transactions or in human computer chips, if you get the picture. So anyway, the disinformation crew was very busy this week to release this article. Now, I just have to laugh at, I like the serious mathematics here, but the way it was released is what is interesting, because I do applaud mathematicians and their efforts. So don't get me wrong, I'm not making fun of the mathematicians. What I'm making fun of is why this was released this week to grab headlines away from what should have been released, that the prime number problem had been solved. So anyway, here it is. Lee Group E8 Math Puzzle Solved. And this is from the Associated Press out of Palo Alto, California. It says, international team of mathematicians says it cracked a 120-year-old puzzle that researchers say is so complicated that its handwritten solution would cover the island of Manhattan. And now, as I read this, I want to compare this to what I did with the prime numbers. My solution can be written in a couple short pages, cracking the 2,500-year-old problem dealing with the prime numbers. And it is not so complicated that it needs a sheet of paper the size of Manhattan. It could be written in a couple short pages. It says the 18-member group of mathematicians and computer scientists convened to map the theoretical object known as Lie Group E8. Problem was originally specified by Lee in the 19th century. It has 248 dimension and was long considered impossible to solve. Now, I like this next statement here. To say what precisely it is something even many mathematicians cannot understand. Now, there again, they're trying to show that this is so complicated that most mathematicians even cannot understand this, the definition of the problem, let alone the solution. Now, I want to compare that with what I did with the prime numbers. Not only is it very understandable, I'm putting it out in a way that the average guy on the street can understand it and can use it and can also break the encryption codes. Okay, the problem's proof. This is back to the Lie Group E8 math problem, which is only 120 years old, used a supercomputer and has 60 times the data as the Human Genome Project, which was considered, of course, to have something, a tremendous amount of data. And they talk about the huge amount of data that this took. And now I want to read the very last statement of the article, Lie Group E8 Math Puzzle Solved, the one that hit the headlines this week from the far reaches of CNN to National Public Radio. I've heard the people tell me that this came in all over the place. I want to read the very last line out of this article. The calculation does not have any obvious practical application. Now, excuse me. Okay. I want to read that line again. The very last line of this headline article. The calculation that these 18 mathematicians did, the calculation does not have any obvious practical application. Now, compare that to the prime numbers, which has an extremely valuable application, specifically cracking the encryption codes that are used for secure transmission, banking, and, by the way, human computer chips that they want to put in you. Now, can you see why somebody's grabbing headlines? When I go about my daily business, there are people who are intercepting my emails, any phone calls that I make, and if I make any inroads towards success at contacting people or gaining interest amongst professionals, someone goes out and has a little chat with them. Isn't that interesting? And there are people who do this for a living. Someone is paying them to do that. If my name appears on a blog or an internet chat group and someone says something favorable about me, within minutes, there's someone coming on that site, coming out of the woodwork from, maybe Langley, Virginia, and putting some kind of negative, abrasive posting there. Usually you can tell it's the same people because I guess they just don't have a whole lot to do except follow me around and try and badmouth me. But you know what? The smart people see through that and they have to think to themselves, what's this guy doing? What's this McCanny guy doing that is causing all of these people to give him so much grief, to badmouth him, to say negative things about him, create totally fictitious stories and web pages dedicated to badmouthing me? Well, I must be doing something right. That's all I can tell you. Let's see. I wanted to get into just a little bit tonight about the local control of water. Now, this is something that I've talked about many times before, but I want to keep pounding on this topic because it is so ultimately important. There are corporations that are zoning in on the distribution of water. They are planning on adding things to water and requiring you to drink those as your only source of water. Now, this is very much like the control of the oil industry. Remember that the oil industry, there's no oil shortage, it's a distribution problem. It's a control and distribution problem. And ultimately, someday soon, you are going to be your only source of fresh water. And this is, I keep telling people, you need a gravity feed water filter, one where you just pour water in the top, it goes through the filters, goes down into a container in the bottom. I'm not going to go into a long dissertation on the Berkey water filter because it's posted on my webpage. I've looked into this. It's the water filter that I highly recommend that you get. And I'm not going to say a lot more about it. I've already told the mail order people how to get it via mail order. But this is something that is happening right now. And if you, in addition to this, if you have the ability to track what your local government is doing, people I know follow the UN. The UN objective and mandate from a long time ago was to identify water resources around the world, pass laws on all levels, local government, state, federal, international levels, to control water. And the way you do that is you put in the infrastructure to control and monitor water usage. And there are companies out there, that's what they do for a living, and they are installing, monitoring, and control systems for water, many of them remote controlled, so they could control them from, say, Chicago. They can control half of the country's water distribution from a single command center, so to speak. And just like, say, security systems are managed from a couple centralized locations, the big security companies that put security systems in your house, it's the same type of thing that they're putting in for water control and management and distribution and clocking of the amount of water you are using. So when Al Gore succeeds and brings in his fear of global warming, the next implication is that water will be scarce. There's going to be a water shortage, but it's not a real water shortage because we live on a planet that's covered three-quarters with water, and we can desalinate ocean water. That technology is available. So how on earth could there be a water shortage? But they're going to convince you that there is, and that you have to pay more and more for water and be subjected to extremely high prices where you buy the water in your own town. Now think about this. Your town has water towers. The water in those towers comes from wells, which are pumped from underground. If somebody tells you that the water in the ground is just not there and there's a shortage, how are you going to know? See, you're not. And the point is, this control and management of water is being put in the hands of corporations, being moved out from the cities and municipalities under the heading of cost saving. Now, what city manager would not be opposed to saving costs? Gee, that sounds like a swell idea. If we just move this management off to this independent company, then we'll save all that cost over here. But what they're not telling you is they're moving the cost onto you, the taxpayer. So their own ledger looks clean and neater, but ultimately you, the resident out there, is going to take it on the chin. You're going to pay more and more and more to this private corporation that the city has given the water rights to of your city. And believe me something, everybody out there, you ain't going to get your water rights back once they're handed over to that private corporation. So be aware, don't let anybody put a radio transmitter, water meter, in your house, because the other thing that can happen with that, there's an add-on feature called, it's just like a cell phone, and you can, they can monitor you and your house, and especially your water usage. They can tell when you're home, they can tell when your kids are home alone, just by putting that water meter reading device on there, and you don't know who's reading that, or why. Who's in the water usage? The average family of three uses the water from the tap or a toilet or a shower or the laundry 77 times per day. Family of six is up in the hundreds of times per day that somebody goes to a faucet or a water fixture of some kind and uses water. If you're not there, they can tell that nobody's home. If you're gone for a week on vacation, they can tell that you're gone for a week on vacation. And this is a private corporation or your local city that has the ability to do this. Secondly, now that the encryption codes have been broken, the reading devices are open to handling and hacking by anybody. So now almost anybody can hack into your water reading meter, radio transmitter, and get data on you, who's home, who's not home, when do the mom and dad come home, when are the kids home alone. All this can be managed, all this information can be brought out simply by reading your water usage. Isn't that interesting? So at any rate, I'll keep talking about these topics as weeks go on. But just be advised, this is going on typically in your local community while you sleep. Just want to quickly mention, I think I talked about this, but orders, we're catching up on orders for the Calculate Primes book and DVD. So thanks everybody for your patience out there. For me, having a book release like this, it's almost like having a baby. And I'm sure a lot of women out there would disagree and say, no, you can't imagine what it's like having a baby. And, of course, I'm exaggerating. But it's tough on my health. I concentrate. I dive into these projects. And releasing a book, since I produce it all myself, and especially one like Calculate Primes, where it was very tightly guarded before it was released, You know, it's just a huge undertaking, and then the release occurs, and then the orders come pouring in. I want to tell you something. So many people were mail ordering in money before the release. It started about a week before the release. People knew it was coming. I had put a date down. And about a week before, people started just mailing in money and saying, I don't know how much the book is, but I want one. And they, at that point, they didn't even know what the title was. So I put a link on my webpage saying pre-order. And I put the price up there, and I said, you don't know what the title is. The first printing was half sold out before the book title was released. Now, that is the level of confidence people have out there in my work. And when the title was released, I told people, previous to the release, I said, when you first hear the title, you're going to go, what? This is strange. What am I waited for this? And then when you realize what the implications are, your jaw is going to hit the floor. And that's literally what happened. And then within probably a week after the release, the first printing had already sold out. And we were already moving well into the second printing at that point. So that's where the Calculate Primes book stands, and I suspect it's going to keep selling quite well because it has a very wide range of interest amongst professionals. And so at any rate, that very pleased with the public response and the professional response. Now, that's something I see also, and of course, you order your individual copy. But I want to just talk to professionals out there regarding the Calculate Primes book. The book and DVD have been produced for the general public. The following comments are for professionals. The proof, the rigorous proof, as it is called in mathematics, is a 7-part proof. It shows the 7 distinct pieces of the puzzle that I had to put together to crack the oldest problem in mathematics, the patterns of the prime numbers, and how to directly calculate them just using addition and subtraction. So for professionals, I would suggest getting the book and looking at it, because that gives you an introduction. But the proof, the rigorous proof, as I said, is a 7-part proof, and it includes 6 of the main properties of prime numbers, which includes symmetry. There is a great amount of symmetry in the prime numbers and in the prime number patterns. There is reciprocity, in that once you calculate a certain group of primes, then you can reverse the equation and calculate another group of primes back and forth. So that property is called reciprocity. There is closure amongst the primes using the operation of addition. So I show how the prime numbers add and subtract from one another and they are a closed group. Now, if you study group theory at the university level, you understand what closure is. That means you have a group of elements in your set, and there's an operator. In the case of the prime numbers, it's addition and subtraction, and you can generate the entire set, the infinite set of prime numbers, using just addition and subtraction. And so the prime numbers form a closed group, something that I'm sure mathematicians would not have estimated. They would not believe until they see it that there is symmetry in the prime numbers. And there's a whole litany. There's, like I say, there's many other properties of the prime numbers. And then, theoretically, there are 7 pieces to the puzzle that had to be put together in an intricate interwoven pattern, that provides the solution to directly calculate the prime numbers. So at any rate, for professionals, I would suggest looking at the book, and then there is the rigorous paper. But I found that too many times when people look at the rigorous paper, There's just too much diverse information there. And only the most sophisticated mathematicians could pick up the rigorous paper and understand it on the first sitting. So I do recommend that, especially technical people, if you're involved in, say, satellite transmission, telecommunications, or other forms of engineering or engineering mathematics, to first get the book, take a look at it. The mid-level technical paper that describes the process is in Appendix 1 of the book, and it just gives you kind of a good feel for the process before you take on the technical paper. And this has gone through enough highly qualified technical people to where I am confident of what I'm talking about here. So let's move on now. The main science topic for the day is having some fun with prime numbers. Now, this is some results. I want to just pass these on. A friend of mine who has been privy to some of this in the background, the prime number stuff, has written a little program, and we generated some of what we call the magic numbers. Now, the magic numbers, there's a mathematical name for them that's described in the book, but the magic numbers in the prime number system are numbers that are pivotal to the prime number system. They are the numbers around which the prime numbers show symmetry. They are the numbers around which there is the wave-like nature. That's what I forgot to mention back there in the properties. The infinite wave nature of prime numbers. And I know mathematicians have studied these properties, but they always come back to the same conclusion that there is no overall pattern to the primes. And that's what I have proven, is there in fact is an overall pattern to the prime numbers. The prime numbers are not random. They are, in fact, extremely orderly, but you just have to find that order. It's locked in the numbers. And so I'm going to talk about some of the magic numbers here. Now, the magic numbers, I show how to calculate them in the book. And this, once again, once you realize how to do this, any third grader can do it. And so I'm going to pick a magic number with, let's see, we've got 10 digits, so that would be, and this is the magic number, I'll read it off, it has 10 digits, 6,469,693,230. That's a magic number in the prime number system. Now, what does that mean? Now, of course, there are infinitely many of these, and as you go up in the prime number system, these magic numbers get larger and larger. So actually, the one I read off to you is a quite small magic number. And what I want to just talk about the magic numbers and their significance. In the understanding of the prime numbers, you take a magic number, and it is pivotal. It is a pivotal point. It's kind of like a where you have a teeter-totter, so to speak, and you have the rod in the middle that balances the teeter-totter. The magic numbers are those pivot points, and they balance the prime numbers to the right and to the left of these magic numbers on the number line. They also are the wavelengths. They form the wavelengths of the waves of prime numbers that are generated all the way out to infinity. And so imagine you throw a pebble in a pond in a certain spot, a certain size pebble, and then you throw a bigger pebble in that same spot, and then you throw an even bigger pebble in that same spot, and then you throw an even bigger pebble in the same spot. Excuse me. And you watch the waves as they travel out to infinity. And these waves would add together and subtract, and you'd get interesting wave patterns that pass out to infinity in all directions. And that's the case with the prime numbers. There are waves of prime numbers which add and subtract from each other, and these undulate out to infinity based on the symmetry relative to the magic numbers. Now, this probably sounds a little bit abstract to the average person sitting out there, but when you look at the book and you understand, you start looking at the prime number tables, the first thing I tell you to do when you get the book is to look at the prime number tables. There's some in the book that go up to around, in the 9,000s. And it's just a list of numbers. And at first, they look like just a list of numbers. No rhyme or reason to them. And that's the statement that most mathematicians make, is that, in fact, the prime numbers really don't have any pattern. That's simply not the case at all. They truly have tremendous patterns. And here is the very interesting key also. In the process of calculating the prime numbers, they are all related to the numbers 0 and 1. And that's one of the extremely interesting and subtle properties. Every prime number has an ancestor in the first two numbers of our number system, 0 and 1. So the number 19, 23, 29, 31, 37, all of these prime numbers originate with just the numbers 0 and 1. And this property is described in the book, Calculate Primes. Once again, this book was written for the public so that an average third or fourth grader could actually read it. They'd probably take him a couple readings, but with the DVD, with the lecture, you can start to understand the prime numbers, why they're in the table of prime numbers, and why the other numbers are not in the table. It's a very interesting process, and once you start to understand it, you're going to see that this has ramifications in many other fields of study. For example, I use to generate the prime numbers an equation. It's called the generator function. And once again, that is a generator function something that's defined in mathematics. But the trademark and patent work revolves around a very specific generator function, the one that I created to directly calculate the prime numbers. And it's described in the book. Piece by piece, I show examples. The way the book is set up is it first talks about the history going back to the Greeks. And then it talks a little bit about some technical aspects of just some things that are prepping you for understanding the prime number system. And then it goes into the process where I actually walk step by step calculating prime numbers, showing you how it's done. And then it goes to the chapter called the generator function. And I show it. It's just a very short two-term equation and what are known as boundary conditions. The boundary conditions describe the variables that go into the generator function and how they are used. And with that, you just keep using the generator function over and over, and it generates prime numbers. Directly calculating them, and I show the lists, and you can follow this in the book and also in the DVD. So it's very interesting. But then what happens is you have the ability to calculate very large prime numbers very quickly. And the old brute force method, where you have to factor or go through a factorization method for large numbers, and then you go to the next large number and you factor it using a very powerful computer, that is out the window. You can directly calculate the prime numbers. And back to the concept of a magic number. Part of the discovery was that there are certain numbers in the number system that are pivotal to the prime numbers. And this discovery was one of the keys that unlocked the entire codex, if you want to call it that, of the prime numbers. There are seven individual pieces to the prime number problem. And the discovery of the magic numbers is one of the pieces of the puzzle. The discovery of the infinite wave-like nature was another, and symmetry was another. So there are seven different pieces of the puzzle, and the properties of the prime numbers are given in the book. And literally, I believe that anybody with a third grade math background can understand how to manipulate the prime numbers. And of course, some people just are not adept at math. And that's why I had the DVD, because I walk through it for you. I take the generator function, I apply it, and I show you how the prime numbers fall out of it. And then you're sitting there with your prime number table watching the numbers coming off of the lecture board as they're generated. And, you know, so I believe that no matter who you are, if you're mathematically adept, you probably read the book and watch the DVD lecture. And if you're not so inclined to understand mathematics, you would then just watch the DVD and then read the book also. But the book will make a lot more sense after you've watched the three-hour DVD lecture. So the fun part, and this is the point of this particular lecture, is once you've kind of ground through that initial piece of understanding how to generate the prime numbers, then the fun begins, because then you go out into those big numbers in the prime number table and you start looking at the patterns as they flow back and forth in the positive direction and the negative direction. You start to calculate primes from one of the magic numbers in the negative direction, and you start to calculate the prime numbers from a smaller magic number in the positive direction, and those two sets of patterns meet in the middle, and it's like a set of comb teeth in a comb, and those teeth in the comb meet exactly in the same place at the same numbers. So this is one of the amazing properties of prime numbers, that as you generate the prime numbers in the positive direction from one of the magic numbers, using the generator function, and as you go out to some larger magic number and start generating the prime numbers in the negative direction, those two sets of numbers intersect and are exactly the same. So I show how to do this in the book. And I know that people out there in the mathematics world, once they see this, are going to fall off their chairs at the amazing properties of the prime numbers. So this is something, and the thing that's going to be fun for kids, especially whether you're in grade school or high school, as I said, once you've learned how to, the understanding of the prime number system, how to generate the numbers and the patterns that you're going to find, then the fun is to go out into those huge prime numbers and start to see the patterns evolving in the prime number system. And that's where it's rather fun. And it's hard to describe this on the radio, but I know I've seen people doing this. I've seen people actually start laughing as they perform these functions and start looking, finding the patterns that are out there in those huge numbers in the prime number table. So at any rate, I would recommend, once again, get this book, especially for your kids. And I am out of time. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.